Hey, good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here on Nova M Radio. How you doing? Hope you had a good day. Huh? How about that bipartisanship? Do you suppose Barack Obama learned anything today? Eh? You think? Oh, God. Not a single filthy Republican from any district that Republicans still represent voted in support of the stimulus package. So I have an idea. The people in those districts represented by these Republican scum get nothing. Absolutely nothing. Apparently, the voters in these districts, oh, and there were 10 Democrats, too. The voters in these districts obviously instructed their elected representative to vote no. We don't want the stimulus. We don't want infrastructure. We don't want money. We don't want funding for schools. We don't want funding for bridges and roads and rail beds. We don't want to make sure that the dams are not going to break. We don't want any of it. We want some tax cuts. Now, obviously, most of the people who live in the districts of these 188 Republicans and 11 Democrats, I said 10, actually 11, obviously, and I say obviously, let me rephrase it, statistically, these are people who make less than $45,000 a year when they're working. But they instructed their Republican representatives to vote no. I assume they instructed their Republican representatives to vote no. I doubt seriously if any of the 188 Republicans who voted no was swamped with requests via telephone and email to vote in favor of it. Otherwise, that representative would have done so, right? Isn't that what the word representative means? So, let's start from the let's stipulate that the 188 districts actually 199 when you count the Democrats, the 199 districts out of 235 who said we do not want any of this stimulus, then they should be just deny them the stimulus. Okay, fine. Okay, everything's cool. You all sit there and rot. And when your heat's turned off, when your house is repossessed, when your car stops working and you can't afford a mechanic, when the roads in your neighborhood crumble, when the power lines come down because of the ice storm and there's no money for the city to have it fixed or the electric company to have nothing, sit there, you dumbasses, and eat it up. Can you believe this? Now, I wonder if Barack Obama got it today. Any effort to talk with Republicans is a waste of time. It's worse than a waste of time because these sniveling bastards will demand that their picture be taken with the president, right? That's what I've heard from Politico and a couple other places. That's what they did when Barack Obama went to meet with these sniveling bastards. Hey, can I get my picture took with you there? You know, you're the first black president. Can I get my picture took? You know, they fall all over that part of it. But once Barack Obama left, after the conversation, after talking with these sniveling bastards, and he left to go back to the real seat of power in this country, thanks to George Bush, the sniveling Weasley Democrats all gathered in little groups. Hell, what you thinking? Yeah, I ain't voting for it. No, yeah, hell no. No. Did you get your picture taken with the Negro president? Yeah, I did. Jesus God. Okay. So I think it's very simple. Very simple. No money for the districts. And it should be studiously avoided. If there is an interstate highway that needs repair that goes through one of these districts, leave that part of the interstate highway unrepaired. Put signs, since it's an interstate highway, on the edge of the district that says, attention motorists, you are entering a district that did not want their roads or bridges or anything repaired. So we suggest that you detour. It's about 8 miles to the east, and you'll come into a district that did want the repairs, And the detour map will be there at the first roadside stop. That's how it should work, shouldn't it? No? Sure it should. The Republicans expressed concern about the large amount of spending in the bill, and they said the tax cuts didn't go far enough. Tax cuts for whom? For their their constituents who make an average of $45,000 a year, who don't have any income left to tax cut? 8 years of this orgy of Republican spending for wars, for something called the Department of Homeland Security, to build fences that don't work around the southern, along the southern border. This insanity, and all of a sudden the Republican leadership under this drunk John Boehner,
we just don't think that, the spending is way out of control.
Are you goddamn kidding me? Are you kidding me? After looting the Treasury, stealing the country blind, and now they want their constituents to think they're fiscally conservative? What was it that Cheney said a long time? Was it Cheney?
Reagan proved deficits don't matter.
Really? Reagan proved that? The God Reagan? Saint Reagan? God's son-in-law? Reagan? Really? He said that? See, if I were the president right now, with all the dictatorial power that rests in the Oval Office, thanks to Bush and Cheney, when I signed the bill, the spending bill, I would put a signing statement with it. I would look up all the districts of the 188 Republicans and the 11 Democrats who voted against this effort to bring this country back from the brink of a financial collapse. Not that the Barack Obama plan is necessarily going to work. It's a beginning. It's going to take a lot more than this. This is just a beginning. It wouldn't be $819 billion if they were serious about the money going to work. It would be $2 trillion. Let's start there. So if I were the president under the current system of power sharing that the Bush-Cheney crime family put into effect, and when I sign the bill, because it'll pass the Senate, I would sign the bill, and I put a signing statement on there and said, by the way, the districts whose representative voted no, no soup for you. No soup for you! Get out of my store! No soup for you! The Republicans expressed concern about the large amount of spending in the bill. And Boehner, the drunk, the House Minority Leader from Ohio, a state that is about to just disappear under an oil slick where there used to be industry. Boehner says,
well, the underlying bill has a lot of wasteful provisions and slow-moving spending in it, so we're going to vote no. And besides, you know, Rush Limbaugh told us to vote no, and God damn it, I have a lot of people back in my home district that listens to Rush Limbaugh, so, you know, I'm voting no.
It's astonishing. I think it's wonderful that Limbaugh, Jay writes, in Happy Days Are Here Again, Rush Limbaugh is the leader of the Republican Party in nowhere but down from here, baby. All good Republicans should not unite around their new leader ASAP. Yeah, I agree. I'm going to get a bumper sticker made that says Limbaugh Palin, 12. So I would hope that the new president of the United States, who's getting a real hosing from this cheesy-ass, disgusting media, I would hope that President Obama understands the way you govern in America in the year of our Lord 2009 is to give the middle finger to the Republican Party, turn your back on them, don't ever talk to them, work with your Democratic caucus, and get things done.
doing talk radio right. From the left, it's More of Mike Malloy.
So what do you think? Do you think President Obama got an object lesson in today in the duplicity, backstabbing, sneaky, lying, spineless, gut-wrenching, in other words, normal Republican way of doing business? Do you think he got a lesson strong enough to make him realize that, you know, he can do whatever he wants to? It doesn't make any difference. He can send flowers to these scum suckers' spouses when they have birthdays. He can bounce their babies on his lap. He can compliment them on anything. But when the rubber hits the road, they're going to cut his throat just that quick. And as far as media is concerned, have you noticed Eric Bowler writing at MediaMatters.org wrote such an excellent article that I have just got to quote from it rather freely here about how right on cue the White House press awakens from its Bush slumber. Think back, before I get into Bowler's article, just think back to how the press was treated, starting with Ari Fleischer, including the president, the vice president. They were treated like the stuff that gets on your shoe when you walk through a dog park on a Sunday afternoon. The Bush administration treated them worse than indentured servants. The Bush administration treated them like they were scum, totally non-essential to the American way of life. The First Amendment didn't mean anything. Get out of here, you punk asses. And what happened? Well, the press bought it. The press realized, all the crack White House press corps, you know, we've talked about this for 8 years, the crack White House press corps just rolled up like one of those little bugs that your kids call roly-polies. Remember that when your kids were little? They just rolled up like little roly-polies and allowed Bush to smash them. And in return, they did everything to praise Bush. It was like something out of Charles Dickens. You know, may I have another, sir? You know, beat me again. Kick me. Flail me. Denigrate me. Embarrass me. Rip the skin off my back. Do anything to me. Oh, Jesus Christ, I love you, George. You're such a hell of a man. And you too, Dick. I have been so disgusted. If you're a regular listener to this program, this will not come as a newsflash. I know you too. I mean, because we're of the same mind, or we wouldn't be doing this program together, you and me. We have been so disgusted, haven't we, with this filthy, cowardly, useless media in this country, especially the way they treated the most criminal administration ever to take over the country. The press, the way they treated the stopping of the vote in Florida in December 2000, the way they treated Bush's selection by the Supreme Court, the way the press denied, even when people like Greg Palast and, what's his name that substitutes for Brad Friedman, all these people over and over provided ironclad proof of the theft of the election. The press, the crack White House press corps, and the general mainstream media in this country just sat back on its useless ass and did nothing. Nothing. In fact, worse than nothing. Said, oh, well, now, come on. That's a bunch of right or left-wing bloggers over there on the internets who are coming up with all kinds of the same people that say 9/11 was an inside job. What the hell do they know? Nah. He won it fair and square. The media, the press, the only occupation in America that has constitutional protection, absolutely did nothing. Nothing. While these criminals took us into two unprovoked wars, ruined the economy, ruined the country, destroyed our reputation, and turned us into a goddamn torture state, the press did nothing. And now? Oh, well, my goodness, suddenly revved up and bowing to keep a hawk-like watch on the Obama administration, and all of a sudden obsessed with trivia. While glomming onto nitpicking gotcha-style critiques,
Beltway reporters have tossed aside the blanket of calm that had descended on them during the previous administration. But as Eric Boulder says, can't say I'm surprised about the sudden change in behavior, though. Taking the long view, I recently went back and contrasted how the press covered the first days and weeks of Clinton's first term in 1993 with its coverage of Bush's arrival in 2001. The difference in tone between 1993 and 2001, the difference in tone and substance was startling. Startling. Eric Boldert, who is the media critic, it's not this punk ass that writes for the Washington Post. It is Eric Boldert. We'll have some more of this when we come back from this break that's coming up. But have you noticed? Oh, and there's some real standouts, huh? Ed Henry. Don't you like him? You like Ed Henry? Oh, God. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. So there's no question, as Eric Boulder points out, and you knew this, and I knew this, there are two sets of rules employed by so-called reporters that cover Washington or the presidency. There's a set of rules for right-wing Republicans. That's redundant. There's a set of rules for Republicans and another set of rules for Democrats. John Banner, who's the executive producer of ABC's World News, said last week, quote, "I don't think there's a honeymoon for Obama. The accountability starts immediately," end quote. You see, as Boulder points out, accountability suddenly reigns supreme. Accountability? After what the press corps that was given constitutional protection, after what these sons of bitches did over 8 years of Bush, how they let us down? How they let us down, and now all of a sudden, this punk at ABC World News says accountability starts immediately. As Boulert points out, the early Clinton and Obama scripts are at times interchangeable. In other words, baseless negative stories like the cost of Obama's inauguration, the cost of Bill Clinton's haircut, right? The only part that doesn't fit in with the rest of the mosaic is how the press lovingly treated the Republicans in 2001, Bush, during his arrival in town. As Boulder says, the media's abrupt transformation last week in terms of greeting the new president, a transformation that unfolded with great pride and even apparent glee among reporters. Oh, we're going to get a saw, bitch. That greeting was showcased during the new administration's first White House press briefing, where many reporters, previously comatose during the Bush era, rose up in anger and demanded answers during a contentious session. The Daily Beast online announced, "Game on! Obama's clash with the White House press corps." The Washington Times' Joseph Curl wrote, "Obama press aide gets bashed in debut.
Curl went on to say, although President Obama swept into office pledging transparency and a new era of openness, the press hammered spokesman Robert Gibbs for nearly an hour over a slate of perceived secretive slights that had piled up quickly for the new administration. It wasn't pretty. And so it went to the first official White House briefing of the new Obama administration, a fiery back and forth, dispelling the notion that journalists would go easy on the guy that many reports show it went easy on during the marathon primary and general election campaigns. Halfway through the interrogation, a reporter asked,
"Is the honeymoon over already?"
The reporter for the Washington Times, Joseph Curl, also reported there was yelling and shouting from journalists inside the White House press room that day. According to Curl, they were spitting out their words. Now, if you're having trouble recalling all the times the same press corps hammered Bush White House spokesman Ari Fleischer for nearly an hour when they yelled and shouted and spat questions at him, don't worry. Your memory isn't going bad. That never happened. Politico's John Harris said the truth is, back when Bush came into town, Politico's John Harris, who was then with the Washington Post, he wrote during Bush's first month in office, quote, "The truth is, this new president, Bush, has done things with relative impunity that would have been huge uproars if they had occurred under Clinton." He then went on to cheer, "Good for Washington," in giving a new president a break at the start. In other words, you think for a minute there that John Harris, back in the day, was going to jump all over Bush. But he said, "No, good for Washington," in giving a new president a break. And as Bullard points out, the other Clinton-Obama connection is how the press detests the way new Democratic White Houses treat the media. Of course, the irony is thick, considering the utter contempt the Bush White House displayed toward the press, the way former Chief of Staff Andrew Card famously dismissed the press as just another D.C. special interest group desperately seeking access, the way aides quickly formed habits of not returning reporters' calls for weeks and months, and the way the Bush White House waved in a former male prostitute using an alias and without any valid journalistic credentials to toss softball questions during briefings. Remember that? That's how Republicans brushed back the press. But it's the Democrats whom reporters lash out at. It's the Democrats whom reporters denounce with righteous indignation within days of the new administration's taking office. Now, what has these useless bastards so upset? Huh? What? And before you start making excuses for them, "Well, Mike, they work for corporate America. They don't have any choice." Oh, bat snot. What's got him upset? Here's how Politico.com cataloged the media's petty laundry list of grievances that has sparked the press, quote, frustration, end quote. You ready? This is what Politico wrote. "There have been a handful of rocky moments so far. Some press staffers found their name cards misspelled on Wednesday, and phone lines weren't properly hooked up. Reporters trying to reach the press staff got emails bounced back. And in the hours before Gibbs' first briefing, the northwest gate of the White House started running out of temporary passes." No wonder NBC's Chuck Todd compared the White House press room to Guantanamo, because reporters' names were misspelled. Son of a bitch. I've had my belly full of Chuck Todd anyway, haven't you? Bullard goes on, "It was telling that in his piece about Obama's press woes, Politico noted how the Clinton administration had also run into trouble with the press over issue of access. Noticeably absent from the Politico article was any mention of how the Bush administration dramatically limited media access, regularly cordoned off information from the press, and warned reporters that edgy questions posed at the daily sessions were noted in the building." Now, that's all been tossed down the memory hole. It's only new Democratic presidents who are asked to play nice with the press and get badgered when they do not. Bullard goes on. But back to the showdown at the White House briefing last week, CNN's Ed Henry, while appearing on the Situation Room, whined to hosts, well, Bullard says, stressed to host Wolf Blitzer that he didn't think the new White House press secretary had answered his query that day about Obama's pick to become deputy defense secretary. Think about that premise for a moment. A White House press secretary artfully dodges a reporter's question. Think about that. And recall what the White House press briefings were like for reporters under Bush. Dan Frumkin at WashingtonPost.com did his best to capture the vacuous nature of those exercises during the Bush years. Frumkin wrote, quote, "The spin, the secrets, the non-answers, and the unprecedented lack of access are an insult not only to journalists, but to the public that depends on us to fully inform them about what's really going on in the White House." And blogger and journalism school professor Jay Rosen added, "The point here was to underline how pointless it was to even ask questions of the Bush White House. And reporters got that point, though they missed the larger picture I'm describing. Many times they wondered what they were doing there." This is under Bush. And the New Republic's Jonathan Chait wrote, "Much of the time, R.A. Fleischer does not engage with the logic of a question at all. He simply denies its premise or refuses to answer it on the grounds that it conflicts with the Byzantine set of rules governing what questions he deems appropriate. Fleischer has broken new ground in the dark art of flackdom. Rather than respond tendentiously to questions, he negates them altogether." Now, that was back in the day, back in the Bush years, when a few reporters still had the temerity to write this kind of stuff. But suddenly for Ed Henry, when a Democrat's in power, it's news when a White House press person doesn't answer a reporter's question during a daily briefing. After 8 years of having a succession of Bush flacks who almost with robotic precision refused to answer weeks, months, years worth of daily briefing questions from reporters, to the point where journalists stopped showing up at the daily briefings or even trying to draw out useful information from the White House press operation. After all that, against that backdrop, the CNN correspondent, Ed Henry, thought it was newsworthy that his question wasn't answered by the new Democratic White House spokesman. In other words, a routine, everyday press occurrence under Bush, reporter getting a non-answer, suddenly is transformed into a news event under Obama. Well, not to belabor the point, because we talked about it last night, but if you want to read this, go to MediaMatters.org and read what Eric Bollert has written. It's just astonishing what this American media is doing to Barack Obama.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's More Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. You know, as Irish Dave writes in, Obama ought to go back and reread The Prince if he hasn't. As Machiavelli said, it is better to be feared than loved. And it was Grover Norquist that pointed out bipartisan is just another name for date rape. I just bless Barack Obama's heart. Like I said earlier this week, wow, I was impressed, man. I was impressed. He really went over to the nest of roaches and silverfish and spiders and slime, and actually went in and tried to talk to them, tried to use logic and reason. And this is what he gets. Not one of these piggy sons of bitches would vote for this economic stimulus plan. So deny it to them. Their districts get nothing. Now, you want some more? Media Matters has documented that during the Bush administration, the media consistently allowed conservatives to dominate their shows, right? Booking them as guests far more often than progressives. And the rationale back then was that Republicans were in power. And as Media Matters writes, it appears that old habits die hard, even though President Obama and his team are in control of the executive branch. Democrats are in the majority in Congress. The cable networks are still turning more often to Republicans and allowing them to set the agenda on major issues, most recently on the debate over the economic recovery package. On Sunday, conservatives began an all-out assault on Obama's economic recovery plan, with John Boehner and John McCain both announcing that they would vote against the plan. Despite Obama's efforts at good faith outreach, congressional conservatives have continued to attack the stimulus plan with a series of false and disingenuous arguments. And, of course, the media have been aiding their efforts. In a new analysis, Think Progress has found that the five cable news networks, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, Fox Business, and CNBC, have hosted more Republican lawmakers to discuss the plan than Democrats by a 2-to-1 ratio just this week. In total, from 6 a.m. on Monday to 4 p.m. today, the networks have hosted Republican lawmakers 51 times, Democratic lawmakers 24. CNN had one Democrat compared to 7 Republicans. And as Think Progress reported on Monday, and we reported on this program, I think, Monday night, the cable networks, the Sunday shows and the network newscast promoted a report by the Congressional Budget Office that didn't exist 81 times before the actual report was released. So what do you want to do? I'm serious, Truth Seeker. What do you think? What do you think should be done here? I'm kind of out of ideas. I still think Barack Obama would like to make an effort to pull this country back from total collapse, because I think we're heading that way. Don't you? I mean, I hate to come on this program every night and get all negative. And as a matter of fact, I hate to come on this program every night. I'm really getting sick of it. I am. I told Kathy today, I'm so goddamn tired every day, every single day, getting ready for this program and going over what, is going to be gone over because of the nature of this program. And I look at it and I think, I wonder how much more of this I really want to do. And I'm serious as a heart attack. And I wonder sometimes how much more of this you folks want to do. I mean, it comes to a point, doesn't there? The Democratic Party has got control of the House, the Senate, and the White House, right? The Democrats are still refusing to take serious action in bringing an entire crime family to justice. It's like, what? It never happened? This stuff for the past 8 years never happened? But it's being shoved down the memory hole already. And I've got something for you coming up after the break that you're not going to believe, that Reg sent to me. You're not going to believe it. So stick around for that. I know I'll be here after the break at the top of the hour because I want to share this one with you. But I'm telling you, man, I am just getting to the point. I've watched this filthy media for 8 years now. There's a few exceptions. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Frank Rich is definitely exception. Eric Boulder is definitely exception. The columnist Bob Herbert, Paul Krugman, and there's more. There's more. Eric Zorn. There's more. But they are in such a minority, just like liberal or progressive talk show hosts or talk radio programs available to the general public. How many of us are there? 10? 8? You know, I'm not one to walk away from a fight. I'm one to stay until I'm dead. You know, just that's I don't know. It's the Italian and the Irish. That's one of the reasons I don't go out a lot, because I know if I do, I'm going to get in an argument with somebody. And it's going to be horrifying. It's just going to be horrifying. But, I'm really at a loss here. I don't know what I'm open to suggestions. Don't call in. But if you want to send me an email and just with some idea, something short, brief, how, what are we going to do? What are you and I going to do? How do we handle a media that is useless, absolutely useless? And let's face it, the internet, yeah, the internet's wonderful. The web is wonderful. If you discount the 65-70% of it that's hog snot. And it takes an awful lot of effort to work through the hog snot to get to the part that's really meaningful or valid. But the mainstream media, in all its forms, with few exceptions, is useless. The Democrats are useless. What do you want to do? You got any ideas? Oh, Jesus. We'll be back after the break. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. I don't know how to take this one. You figure this out. I am totally nonplussed. I can't this story does not evoke a reaction from me, but it's from Politico.com from today. And the gist of it is that the guy who was the chief author of the torture memos that last week Barack Obama nullified. You know, Barack Obama said, no more torture. So did Eric Holder. John Yoo, the former Bush Justice Department official, he is the subject of a lawsuit. And now Obama's incoming crew of lawyers, according to Politico, has a new and somewhat awkward job. They have to defend you in federal court. Now, they don't have to, but yeah, they do. Barack Obama's lawyers from Barack Obama, Eric Holder's Justice Department, that's where the lawyers come from, have to defend John Yoo in court. Justice Department lawyers are set next week to ask a San Francisco federal judge to throw out a lawsuit against you by Jose Padilla, remember? The New York man held without charges on suspicion of being an Al-Qaeda operative plotting to set off that dirty bomb. And it's Padilla. It's not Padilla. It's Padilla. The lawsuit filed by Padilla contends that John Yoo's legal opinions authorized Bush to order Padilla's detention in a Navy brig in South Carolina and encouraged military officials to torture Padilla, including death threats, long-term sensory deprivation. His attorneys have said, you remember this, his attorneys say he is unable to mount a defense because they drove him insane. So the lawsuit, now, wait, that's not all. Tomorrow, Justice Department lawyers are supposed to be in Charleston, South Carolina. Barack Obama, Justice Department lawyers. Eric Holder, Justice Department lawyers. Are going to be in Charleston, South Carolina to ask a federal magistrate there to dismiss another lawsuit charging about a dozen current and former government officials with violating Padilla's rights in connection with his detention on U.S. soil. This is not somebody that was renditioned or sent to Guantanamo, right here in the United States. And remember, Padilla was treated this way, tortured, death threats, sensory deprivation, no charges and no trial. If there is a poster face of the Bush crime family's crimes against humanity, it would be Jose Padilla. What they did to him, they drove him insane, never charged him with a goddamn thing, never put him on trial, nothing. And now John Yoo has had a lawsuit filed against him by Padilla's lawyers, or Padilla, acting on behalf of the lawyers acting on behalf of Padilla. And Barack Obama's attorneys from the Justice Department are going to defend John Yoo and ask that the charges be dropped. Why? Well, let me back up. First of all, as the case in Charleston, South Carolina, the defendants of that case are like a who's who of Bush boogeymen. Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, John Ashcroft. Right? Now, the two cases, that one and the one against John Yoo, as Politico writes, the two cases raise the question of how aggressively the Obama administration intends to defend alleged legal excesses of the Bush administration in the war on terror. And the Supreme Court recently gave Obama until March to decide whether to defend the detention without trial of another man held as an enemy combatant. That's the Ali Salah Amari case. And there's more than 100 court cases pending relating to Guantanamo. And because of that, the Obama Justice Department team faces a fast and furious series of deadlines to adopt or reject the Bush administration's stance regarding specific detainees. It's black and white, clear cut. What is the Obama Justice Department going to do? Now, Karen Greenberg, who is the executive director of the Center on Law and Security at New York University, says, quote, this is going to happen again and again across the government. They're between a rock and a hard place, end quote. Really? Why? Well, according to Josh Gerstein, who's writing at Politico, Obama's lawyers aren't the first at the Justice Department to have to stand by a prior administration's legal work, whether they agree with it or not, in the interest of protecting U.S. government prerogatives. Do you get that? In other words, the reason the Justice Department of Barack Obama is going to defend, in a sense, John Yoo, is because the Barack Obama administration and Justice Department wants to make sure that the prerogatives granted by the Constitution and by 232 years of tradition are not trashed. Do you see where the Bush crime family has put this administration and every other administration on its face? It's put them in a box. Now, the Barack Obama administration could say, no, we're not going to defend it. But what's at stake here are the prerogatives of any administration that takes over the executive branch of government in this country. Now, back to what Josh Gerstein writes. He says the Bush War on Terror team inspires particular antipathy in the liberal legal set, and none more so than John Yoo, who crafted the legal framework that justifies practices that critics say are torture. Come on, Josh. Of course it's torture. A former federal terrorism prosecutor, Andrew McCarthy, said, quote, when they go back to the privacy of their offices, the Justice Department lawyers, they may wish that someone would draw and quarter John Yoo, but they have to wave the flag. What they have to do is appear as if they are defending all the prerogatives of government that people want them to defend. That's the job of the Justice Department, end quote. Padilla's lawyers, who are affiliated with the Human Rights Clinic at Yale Law School, declined to comment for this little piece written by Josh Gerstein. John Yoo also declined to be interviewed, though in an op-ed piece for the Wall Street Journal last year, he described himself as the victim of an attempt to use, quote, the tort system to harass those who served in government in wartime, end quote. Do you see what these filthy, vermin bastards are doing? John Yoo's defense is the same as Rush Limbaugh's, the same as Dick Cheney's, the same as John Boehner's.
Hey, we were at war. We had to do things. It was wartime. And it was only a difference in political application. That's all. They want to prosecute us because their opinion, the Democrats, was different from ours.
You see, that's the argument they're trying to make. Oh, my God. And that's what John Yoo says, that any attempt to bring him to justice, and why is he teaching law at Berkeley? Why? Why is not every single student in the University of California, USC Berkeley, why are they not out on the street demanding that that piece of human waste be fired immediately? He is corrupting. Oh, Jesus, never mind. Never mind. I almost said he's corrupting the minds of our youth, but I might as well, you know, whistle Dixie out of my ear holes as say that. Jesus, God. And Gerstein has a couple more things to say. Obama's appointee for Attorney General, Eric Holder, has taken issue with some of Yoo's conclusions, but does not appear to have singled him out by name. Holder, in a speech last year, alluding to a memo in 2002 that you wrote, Eric Holder said, quote, I never thought I would see the day when a Justice Department would claim that only the most extreme infliction of pain and physical abuse constitutes torture, end quote. Holder went on to say that the Bush administration was wrong when it authorized use of torture, when it secretly detained Americans without due process, and for violating the Constitution. And now, Eric Holder and the Barack Obama administration together are going to defend John Yoo and the rest of these thugs' right to torture and detain without charge for years an American citizen.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. All right, we got a few answers here about what to do. I just wonder what sort of coping mechanism that would really work, other than completely checking out of this. Whether you know you check out as a listener, I check out as a talk show host, or I check out as a listener to somebody else's stuff. You know what I'm saying? If there is an alternative, if there is a way to retain our sanity, knowing that some horrifyingly intense America hater like Rush Limbaugh, who appears to be morphing into, seriously, he is morphing into Jabba the Hutt. I've seen some recent video. This guy is enormous. He just keeps bloating up. It's just, I mean, I hope he keeps going because that means he will soon croak. You know, like I said, he will eventually just choke to death on his own throat fat. But when you see someone like that criticized by a member of the House of Representatives, a Republican from here in Georgia, who then 2 days later calls him up on the air and goddamn apologizes. Apologizes. And of course, Limbaugh this is truth, not pun. He's in hog heaven. He's a hog. And you know, I mean, it's just, this is astonishing. And you notice how the press once again distorts. Barack Obama merely said in a meeting, you know, if Republicans want to get things done, they got to stop listening to, or just listening to Rush Limbaugh. And I mean, that's how, it was a throwaway line. It was Jesus Christ. It's a throwaway line. It's a comment on the culture. You know, you ought to stop just listening to Rush Limbaugh. He could have just as easily said, you know, you're not going to solve any problems by listening to Keith Olbermann. You know, but he didn't. He said Rush Limbaugh. So what happens? This porcine, gross, fat sack of lard, this drug-dribbling maniac. I mean, what is wrong with his listeners? He's a goddamn criminal. He's a drug user. And he's so much of a coward, he sent his housekeeper out to score drugs. Jesus God! And this piece of waste gets a call from a member of Congress begging for his forgiveness? What did Olbermann say tonight? The only thing that was missing when Gingrey called was the what's that thing that the priests use to spread incense around the sanctuary, the censor, the incense censor. That was the only thing missing. I mean, Gingrey was willing to do for Rush what Monica did for Bill, and would he would he would. And there are 10 million Americans or 15, well, I don't know, don't care, who listen to this this lard of death and destruction every week, who think that Rush Limbaugh, who makes $1 million every 2 weeks, that somehow he represents the best interests of the working class in this country? Jesus Christ! So what do you do with that? What do you do with that? I'm sorry to focus that much of my energy on Rush Limbaugh, because you know I get emails from people that say, "Man, come on, don't dilute your energy by focusing on these people." Sure, that would be great, but then if I don't do what this job description involves, and that is try to defend liberalism and progressivism, or promote it, or talk about it, or whatever it is, if I don't do that, what the hell am I doing here? I mean, what are you doing here? Seriously, what are you doing here? Why are you listening to this program? You're just flipping through the dials? That's what these right-wing pigs always say. Well, I just flipped through the dial and I heard your show. God damn, you're crazy. Most people listen to the show, listen to it consciously. You know, it's not like, oh, I was flipping through the dial. That's just what pigs say, what right-wing pigs say. But, you know, I wonder sometimes, why do you and I get together? I said years ago, this is not a program for information, for education. It's, you know, it's like an electronic campfire. We get together here at the end of every day and discuss the horrors of the day. Okay, that's fine. But aren't you getting tired of it? I know I damn sure am. I am as serious as a heart attack. I really am. So what to do, what to do, what to do? To feel this abandoned, who on television represents what most of us think is, you know, coherent or factual or reasonable? I mean, who? Rachel Maddow, Keith Olbermann, who else? Occasionally, what's his name? Hardball. Chris Matthews? I mean, who else? So, I don't know. And who on radio? What is there? 8 of us left? 7? 6? Jesus. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Molloy. Stay with us. See, I said stay with us. Why?
liar.
I am heartless, I am vain, insensitive, insane. They say that I'm a national disgrace.
Disgrace.
I am nasty,
yes.
Insulting,
no.
Basically revolting.
Uh-huh.
I'm a concentrated pile of human waste.
He's human waste.
Because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I really am, because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle classes. I'm a sick Republican sleazeball with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a sick Republican sleazeball.
Oh.
They
say that this is not about my vanity. They doubt my sanity. They.
And where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I've walked and I crawled on 6 crooked highways.
Truth, justice, and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
In the middle of 7 side forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mile.
It's about 25 before the hour. Yeah. I know. I shouldn't go on like that or go off like that. It really doesn't make a lot of sense, you know, about the frustration. But, man, I'll tell you, when you start to feel, and I'm sure you feel the same way, you start to feel like you're part of a posse that's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And you watch people who allegedly are in a profession tangential to your own, first of all, be whores, no offense to sex workers, for 8 years, and now all of a sudden jump on the Obama administration as if I understand it. I know what they're about. I know who owns their souls. I know they're just, they're instructed to do this or they'll lose their jobs. And they don't want to be unemployed, so they act like total jackasses, or worse. But in the meantime, we get all misinformed or uninformed. Look at that story last week about the Congressional Budget Office story or a report that never existed, that was reported by everybody. So I just get frustrated. Nobody likes to feel like the Lone Ranger. I damn sure don't. You know, if I want to do a Lone Ranger thing, it's very simple. You just check out, get off the grid, and there's no more central place on the grid than doing a radio talk show, you know. So it's massive frustration, not so much with what Barack Obama's doing. It's fine. I think he's on the right track. I keep saying that. But it's a sense that I don't know what it is. To hell with it. To hell with it. All right. Moving right along. Oh, by the way, here's the list of House Democrats who voted against the stimulus bill. Alan Boyd of Florida, Bobby Bright of Alabama, Jim Cooper of Tennessee, Brad Elworth of Indiana, Parker Griffith of Alabama, Paul Kanjorski of Pennsylvania, Frank Crotteville of Maryland, Walt Minnick of Idaho, Colin Peterson of Minnesota, Heath Shuler of North Carolina, and Gene Taylor of North Carolina. I don't know what districts they are vis-a-vis the boundaries of their state, but I know that in the states I just read off here, of course, 6 of the 11 are in states of the old Confederacy. No surprise there. But I just wonder if the people who live in those districts, are they happy with that? I mean, do they want no help whatsoever? Nothing? Oh, well. From Prairie 2, our economic correspondent. Hey, Mike. High-end retailers who haven't been affected by economic downturn since the last Great Depression are reporting their sales are down between a fourth and a third. At the other end of the economy, McDonald's, Netflix, and cheap liquor sales are way up. Have a dollar burger, put a DVD in the player in your family van, now the family home, to keep the kids busy, throw back some cheap rot gut, and listen to Mike Malloy. From the It May Not Matter file, there is a story going around the media that three physicists who are experts on black holes have revisited the math on the Hadron Collider. The report is that the possibility of one of the many black holes the people there intend to create could swallow the planet is much higher than previously thought. The good news is this story originated with Fox News, and of course, they ignored the conclusion section of the physicist's paper. Their conclusion is that it's not likely. The bad news is that after reading their paper, I'm not quite so reassured. You remember this story, the collider that they started up. Where is it, Kathy, in Switzerland? To try to smash open the essential building blocks of the universe and see what's there. But the problem with that is it may, some physicists say, that may generate a series of teeny, tiny black holes that may get bigger and bigger and swallow up everything, you know, everything that concerns us. So the Hadron Collider is not running. I think it's due to start running when? April? Something? I don't know. Anyway, Prairie 2 goes on. The bad news is that after reading their paper, I'm not quite so reassured that the conclusion is not likely. The assumption, now, this is where Prairie 2 shows us his physicist gymnastics. If our Aurora Bureau Chief, Marianne, Dr. Marianne, is listening, who is a physicist, if you're listening, Marianne, check this out now. This is what Prairie 2 says. The assumption that it's safe to do this is based on the reality that solid matter is almost entirely made of empty space. But if one of these black holes should directly encounter any subatomic particle while it was still in the Earth's atmosphere, it would start to grow in mass, and the radius of attraction would start to expand, potentially attracting more matter, lots more. Then the question would be, if it had enough remaining velocity to escape the planet's gravity, these things would be initially roving at 99.99% the speed of light, and a slower one would have almost no chance of encountering any particles during its brief lifespan, from a nanosecond to maybe as much as a second. But these guys aren't sure about how long it would really be. Their conclusion is that it would be safe. Almost certainly it would be. That's if all the plotted variables stay within the theoretical parameters. The Hadron Collider probably won't be up to full speed for several years. In the meantime, archaeologists need to revisit the Mayan calendar. Is the end of the world pictograph on the Mayan calendar really the symbol for black hole? Let's hope the pictograph does not translate to a giant circular snake that eats the world from inside a mountain. I'm not going to look. I'm washing down dinner with cheap rot gut and listening to Mike Malloy. Okay. I kind of got what he said. I guess. And then I get this from him. The subject line is hanged with silk rope. He writes, the way you're going on about how pointless this is, you think Sarah Palin was president. Are you losing focus because we don't have a well enough defined menace? Can't have Superman without Lex Luthor? Try making a list of pros and cons. Maybe something will come to you. Well, that's not really the point. I tried to say, you know, I'm not discouraged about what Barack Obama is doing. I think he's on the right track, given where we are in the history of this country, the history of our economic system, the history of everything. That was a book, wasn't it? Given where we are, I think Barack Obama is probably doing the right thing. What I'm concerned about is the continuing brainwashing job that's being done on the American public without let up. Without let up. I mean, how much of this can the American public sustain? Now, the quick answer is, well, a lot more, Malloy, because after 8 years, we voted the bastards out and voted in the Democrat. Okay, but what does that really mean? If it means we decided to roll the dice as a society one more time and try to get a real leader, and then are brainwashed further into believing that we don't have a real leader, not even now, then what? That's all. It's very frustrating to be on the team in the high school basketball championship where everybody on my team is 5'4" and everybody on the other team is 6'3" in terms of the damage they're able to do. You understand? That's all. That's what, you know, bitching and complaining and moaning. I know I shouldn't do that in public, and certainly not on this radio program. But if you've been around long enough, you know me. There's not very much that I hold back. You want to hear some more false crap? San Francisco Chronicle. Jesus. This is again from MediaMatters.org. The San Francisco Chronicle reported the false claim that 4.2 billion dollars of the recovery plan would go to Acorn, right? The Chronicle reported that 4.2 billion of Barack Obama's economic recovery plan, quote, would go to the liberal housing activist group Acorn, end quote. In fact, the bill doesn't even mention Acorn or otherwise single it out for funding in any sense. But here it is. In a January 27 San Francisco Chronicle article, that's yesterday, Washington correspondent Carolyn Lockhead reported the false claim, which she attributed to a group called Americans for Limited Government. You wonder who's behind that. That $4.2 billion of Barack Obama's economic recovery plan, quote, would go to liberal housing activist group Acorn. In fact, the bill contains no language mentioning Acorn. The false claim is based on a misrepresentation of a provision that would appropriate $4.2 billion, quote, for neighborhood stabilization activities related to emergency assistance for the redevelopment of abandoned and foreclosed homes as authorized under Division B, Title III of the Housing and Economic Recovery Act of 2008, end quote. Now, from that, the crack media, in this case, the San Francisco Chronicle, came to the conclusion that the $4.2 billion would go to Acorn. There's more. Stick around.
That's true if you're kind of stupid. I'm not that kind that gets themselves burned twice. Some say liquor kills the cells in your head. And for that matter, so does getting out of bed. When I exit, I'll go out gracefully shot in my hand. The pow, 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 power of positive drinking.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. So Carol Lockhead, who is works for the San Francisco Chronicle, Washington correspondent, reported the false claim that Barack Obama's economic recovery plan had a specific part where $4,000 million would go to Acorn, the neighborhood housing activist group, right? Of course, none of that's true. But what Carolyn Lockhead was using for her source of information was, let me see, it was from something called Americans for Limited Government. She said that's where she got the information. Not from the bill itself, but from this goddamn Americans for Limited Government. You know what that is. You can tell by the name. You know what that is. Okay, so she gets the information from that phony-ass group and then puts it in the San Francisco Chronicle and reports it as fact. In fact, the $4.2 billion that she misreports on is for neighborhood stabilization activities related to emergency assistance for the redevelopment of abandoned and foreclosed homes. In other words, it's going to go to neighborhood for organizations authorized under Division B, Title III of the Housing and Economic Recovery Act of 2008 to repair and revitalize some neighborhoods. This is the money that goes back to homeowners, to the mortgage holders, to make sure that everybody's property in the neighborhood doesn't go down the tank. Now, it goes on to say, The provision requires that money will be distributed through competitive processes. It states that, quote, not less than $3.4 billion shall be allocated by a competition to states, units of general local government, and nonprofit entities or consortia of nonprofit entities to distribute. States, units of general local government, nonprofit entities, or consortia of nonprofit entities. Now, with all that, this writer for the Chronicle and the Chronicle would rather go with a right-wing handout from something called Americans for Limited Government that says $4.2 billion is going to Acorn. You see? You see how this works? Now, the $4.2 billion will be distributed by the Department of Housing and Urban Development's Neighborhood Stabilization Program. The claim in Carolyn Lockhead's San Francisco Chronicle article is in the material released by House Minority Leader John Boehner's office. Something called a Fast Facts release that came out of his office 2 days ago claimed this about the stimulus bill. Quote, the legislation could open billions of taxpayer dollars to left-wing groups like Acorn, which has been accused of voter fraud, is reportedly under federal investigation, and played a key role in the housing meltdown. End quote. You see? You see? Do you hear that? Acorn played a key role in the housing meltdown. My ass! Left-wing groups like Acorn accused of voter fraud. Who accused them of voter fraud? Right-wing Republicans. Was voter fraud proven? No! Oh, my God! But this is how it works. And then the media, the newspaper, the San Francisco, for Christ's sake, Chronicle, reports this as though it were fact. The claim by Boehner's office also echoes the false smear propagated by several media figures in the 2008 election cycle that Democrats tried to create a slush fund for Acorn. A slush fund for Acorn in this Emergency Economic Stabilization Act. Here's what the Chronicle says. Quote, two Senate committees are set to take up the stimulus today. The House was scheduled to a full vote on Wednesday. A House Democratic leadership aide said he believes Republican leaders will make their points and then let their members go and vote. He said, I just can't see them voting no at a time like this. This is not like 1993. End quote. A Virginia advocacy group called Americans for Limited Government is pressuring moderate Democrats to vote against the stimulus bill, saying $4.2 billion would go to the liberal housing activist group Acorn. Spokesman Carter Clue, who apparently speaks for Americans for Limited Government, laughed at the idea that Republicans would kill the whole bill. We're not quite that ambitious, he said. The idea is just to limit it some. Do you get that? I mean, when caught, these neo-fascist organizations that consist of an office somewhere, in this particular instance, somewhere in the Washington D.C. suburbs in Northern Virginia, an office, a couple of secretaries, funding that comes from these overarching right-wing groups. Reports come in, a blast fax is sent out to all the media outlets, and apparently Carolyn Lockhead from the San Francisco Chronicle gets a copy of this and reports it as fact. Now, will the San Francisco Chronicle in tomorrow's newspaper, in the correction and addendum section of the paper, refute what their Washington correspondent wrote? I don't think so. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. It is about 7 past the hour. David in New York City did some quick research about this organization, Americans for Limited Government, the ones that gave the San Francisco Chronicle reporter the handout that said billions of dollars were going to go to Acorn. Here's what David writes. Mike, Americans for Limited Government's website links you to getliberty.org, which links to Net Right Nation, which calls itself your unique portal to the conservative blogosphere. Funny, David writes, how those parts of the sources never find their way into corporate media, which is still branded as left-wing. Yeah, you can always tell, but, you know, some Americans for Limited Government or Patriots for Defense of the Flag or people who really, truly, deep in our hearts, love America or Stop the Queers. You know, you can always tell, can't you, the political weaselry of these groups by their names. Let's do some phone calls. You want to do some phone calls? Anybody want to call? 800-989-1480 if you want to check in. 800-989-1480. I got some other emails here. Jen wrote in and a couple of people. But Jen, it's just I read your letter and I appreciate it, but it's just depressing, man. it really is. But maybe tomorrow night. What else we got here? Oh, Jennifer Lowenstein writing at Amnesty International. She has something about the Israeli army using flechettes. How do you say it? Flechettes against the Gaza civilians. Do you know what a flechette is? I didn't, but they use these. Jennifer Lowenstein writes, apart from white phosphorus, the Israeli army used a variety of other weapons in densely populated civilian areas of Gaza in the conflict. Flechettes, I guess that's it, flechettes, are 4-cm-long metal darts that are sharply pointed at the front with 4 fins at the rear. Between 5,000 and 8,000 of them are packed into 120-millimeter shells, which are generally fired from tanks. The shells explode in the air and scatter the flechettes in a conical pattern over an area about 300 meters wide and 100 meters long. An anti-personnel weapon designed to penetrate dense vegetation, flechettes should never be used in build-up civilian areas. The Israeli army has used them in Gaza periodically for several years. In most cases, their use has resulted in civilians being killed or injured. And then it goes on. Maybe some other time I'll get to some descriptions of people who were caught in this rain of hell from these flechettes that Jennifer Lowenstein writes about at Amnesty. Whew, good God. That's down the memory hole, isn't it? Huh? The whole Israeli invasion of Gaza, that never happened either, right? Just like the torture of Jose Padilla, that never happened. And John Yoo being a war criminal of the highest order, that never happened. And George Bush and his old lady are going to a women's basketball game somewhere, right? All right. Let's take some calls here. Want to talk? All right. Let's start with James, who is in St. Paul, Minnesota, listening on KTNF. Hey, James.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
You know, I only have one thing to tell you tonight, and that is you said it earlier about Rush Limbaugh, Lard of Hosts. You said Lard of Hosts. You didn't even hear it, but he is the Lard of Hosts.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that's a great description. Fat Lard of Hosts.
Well, he's morphing into Jabba the Hutt. Like I said, I saw some video. Somebody sent me some video, and please don't do that, of whoever sent that, of the little interview that Hannity had with him. And I swear to God, he's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's because he's found some drug other than OxyContin. Hannity, the manatee, is getting bigger, too. What is with these people? They make $25 million a year, and what do? Do they eat it all? Do they just stuff their faces? I'm going to eat and eat. I hope Rush keeps eating and smoking his cigars and sitting around. And I just sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning, I cock my head towards Palm Beach, Florida, to see if I can hear the fat building up in his arteries.
Well, you can hear the fat building up in his arteries as he speaks. Oh, he's got a sclerosis, definitely.
Well, I certainly hope that that's the case. Anyway, thanks, James.
It says karma's coming around for him.
It is. It's got to come. Thanks, James. I appreciate you checking in. Rufus is calling from Arcata, California, listening on KGOE. Rufus, welcome to the program. Hey, Rufus. All right, are you there? All right, he's gone. Who we got next? Mary. There's Mary calling from Memphis. Hi, Mary. It's about time you called in.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Mike?
Yes.
Okay, your phone has faded out on me for some reason.
I know. We have some bugs in the system, and the bugs are soon going to be exterminated, and the system will be fine. But right now we have some bugs. Can you hear me okay?
You're not going to call the bug man, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
All right, Mary, what you got on your mind?
Yeah, little else.
All right.
Anywho, I take serious objection to... Can I mention somebody who does the news on Nova?
You can mention anybody.
Okay.
Anybody.
Somebody whose name I've never been able to catch. His last name is Simpson, and the first name, it always sounds like he's saying Raw, R-A-W.
Ross Simpson. He works for ABC Radio News.
Uh-huh.
We have ABC Radio, I'm sorry. Is it ABC Radio News, Ian, that we can? No, it's not ABC. It's, what is it, Kathy? What do we carry? AP News, Associated Press, AP News, Ross Simpson. We subscribe to AP News syndicating service. He has nothing to do with Nova M.
Okay, good.
Nothing whatsoever.
Anyway, I just heard him talking about the stimulus package.
Yeah.
During the news break, and and he does that thing of the inflections in his voice. And he said, Obama was proud of the stimulus package, even though no Republicans voted for it.
Right.
And despite his lobbying,
right.
You can hear the slime and the oil oozing out, despite his lobbying for
right.
it.
Right.
And it just irks me the way he gives these little inflections to whatever he's saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not all news anyway, as we all know. they've always got to do something about some alleged human interest story that isn't. But you mentioned Media Matters earlier, and they have an email list that you can subscribe to, which I do,
uh-huh.
And they list the various lies that people have told during the week. And give contact numbers for those TV stations or radio programs or whatever it may be so that you can call up and complain. And that's, you were asking for solutions a while ago, and that's the only thing I can think of really is to have a whole bunch of people call in and say, why should I listen to this trash,
Yeah.
And not to replace them. They're irrelevant now, and not only that, but they're liars, and they're tearing the country apart. And as the manager of this station or whatnot, are mm-hmm. indulging in anti-American, basically, activity mm-hmm. for allowing these liars
that's
on.
Well, that's the part that drives me crazy, Mary, because, I've got no problem with jackasses getting on the air. And doing those terrible things that they do to tear down this country. But since there's no longer a fairness doctrine, the ratio of jackasses to normal people on radio, especially talk radio, is about 1,000 to 1. And,
uh-huh.
and that's the part that drives me insane. Hey, Mary, we got a break, all right?
Okay.
All right, thanks.
And I'll get you again. Bye-bye.
All right, don't be a stranger. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Should hear and see. You take
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Who's our next victim? It looks like it is Nair? Calling from New York City, listening on Sirius. Nair?
Hi, how are you?
Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Okay, I just wanted to make a comment because I heard you talking to one of the previous callers, and he was complaining, kind of making fun of Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh about their weight and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why he just doesn't. If you're going to have a problem with a person, have a problem with their point of view or the facts at hand instead of making fun. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
No, I do have a problem with them. Well, my point is, it wasn't the caller, it was me.
Mm-hmm.
My point is that Rush Limbaugh eats people's minds. He eats their...
But I could say the same thing about you.
Now, wait, hold on a second.
Hmm?
Hold on a second.
Okay.
He eats their minds. He eats their souls. He devours lies and spits them out, regurgitates them as truth for his listeners. He is a pig. He is an enormous, bloated freak. And to me... And I said to me, he's morphing into Jabba the Hutt. Jabba the Hutt, as you know, was a character out of a movie,
yes.
Out of Star Wars, right? So,
yes.
Nair, your problem is maybe you're taking me literally. I think Rush Limbaugh is one of the worst, filthiest human beings on earth, and I will, in this country anyway, and I'll do anything I can. Say anything. I would say more, but I'm restricted by broadcast rules and regulations. He is scum. He's a swine. Why are you defending him?
Because, you know what? I'm a conservative.
Wait a second. Don't say because.
But you know what? Maybe somebody like me thinks that a lot of the things you regurgitate are outright lies.
Okay, what do I say? Okay, wait. I'm going
to
get now, Nair, I'm going to give you a chance, unless, like most right-wingers, you screw it up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give you a chance. What do you hear coming from me that's a lie?
Well, I don't listen to you often. I just
you're the one that said that. You just said that. You said the things, maybe the things coming from you are a lie. What? Give me one example.
You said that Sean Hannity, and you weren't talking to him.
No, okay, Nair, come on. Oh, Nair, don't.
You know he lost a lot of weight recently.
Nair, don't be a stereotype.
Sean Combs.
Oh, Christ. Don't be a stereotype, please.
I'm not a stereotype. I'm actually not a stereotype, and I'll tell you why. I'm a Hispanic American who's a right-winger because I work and I pay a lot of taxes, and I don't agree with the left-wing mantra.
What is the left-wing mantra?
The left-wing mantra. Everybody can come into this country... Take everything from us. We shouldn't carry a gun. We should let everybody beat us up. Get rid of our military. Elect the president.
Get rid of the military? Are you out of your mind, Nair? Oh, please, just go away. Go away. Oh, my God. Rush, see, this is what I mean. Rush has eaten your mind. That's one of the reasons he's so fat. He gets people like you and through the radio. Let me tell you something how he does it, Nair. There is an invisible straw that he sends out. No, Nair, shut up. There's an invisible straw that he sends out through the radio waves, and it goes into your brain and other people like you, and he sucks out your brain. He sucks it up. All the white matter just... And then he pushes into your brain this right-wing drivel so that you lose your ability to think, to reason, to talk, to be a human being. You become... Because he wants a lot... You tell me you're a Latino and he's got you convinced to be against your own people. That's amazing. That's amazing. You are such a stereotype. By stereotype, I mean a typical right-winger whose brains have been sucked out. And he puts sawdust in your head. Oh, my God. I wonder, doesn't it ever itch? I mean, having sawdust inside your skull, it seemed to me that that would itch. Christ, my head is starting to itch just talking about this. But your brains have been sucked out in there. They've just been sucked completely out. Poor darling. Oh, my God. Nair? I thought that was something that you used to get hair off your body. Isn't that what Nair is? Doesn't that stand for no hair? That's the only time I've ever heard Nair. I don't know.
God. No, it's just, it is really sad to hear anybody call up and talk about. I mean, is there a human being left in America that seriously believes that anyone on the left wing, as she would put it, wants to get rid of the military? How about we don't want the military to be used as George Bush's personal little police
but this
force?
Is, but the, or to be corrupted. Or it's honor destroyed.
Or put them at risk.
Or
have
them,
at risk, murdered.
Or have them murdered. Or become murderers. But you see, this is what happens when your brains have been sucked out.
And by the city light, get it inside, swirl the tide and taste it. All right. Back on the shoulder, through the cold, down by the metal track. She saw it all shine, swore in her mind she'd never.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
You know, aside from the fact that Limbaugh is a bloated psychopath, his approach to gender relationships is so misogynistic, it's beyond belief. How can any woman accept a woman who truly is willing to be subjugated, even listen to him? I don't know. Oh, well. Who's to say how we get our kicks, right? Who is next? Don is calling from Wichita, Kansas, listening on Sirius. Hey, Don.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the program, Don.
Thank you, sir. You having a good night, I hope.
It's just groovy. How about you?
Well, I appreciate your show. I thank you for it. I'm a truck driver, and I'm going towards Denver.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to you ever since I've had Sirius, and I really appreciate it, and I thank you.
Well, thank you. How's road conditions? Are you driving through
beautiful.
Blizzard?
Oh, no? Yeah, they're dry out there.
Oh, good, good.
And
all right.
I wish the Democratic Party would get some backbone and stand up to the Republicans and do them like when the Republicans were in control of the House and Senate, told them they had no voice in this situation.
I completely agree with you, Don. I'm so tired of seeing sick, cowardly Democrats. Do you live in Oklahoma?
No, sir. I live in Wichita, Kansas.
Oh, in Kansas. Okay. I have a good friend in Oklahoma that has a website, BartCop. Are you familiar with BartCop.com?
No, sure, I'm not. Huh?
You're not? Well, you,
no,
if you get a chance, go there. It's Bart, BART.com, BART.com, C-O-N, or BartCop, like a policeman. Bart,
yes, sir.
BartCop.com. Go to his website because he also feels the same way you do about what he calls them pink tutu Democrats, you know, like ballet dancers.
Yeah.
And he just absolutely hates that kind of Democrat. Check out his website. It's really good. You'll like it. I mean, it's fun. It's a fun website. It's not crazy like what you hear on this program.
Well, I appreciate your show, sir. I really do.
Well, thanks, Don. Take care driving, okay?
Yes, sir. You have a nice night.
Okay, you too. You too. How long has it been since you've been to Bart Cop's website, y'all? Huh? Come on now. I haven't said this in a long time, but I finish up every night after we sign off. I pour my glass of wine that my doctor said, for God's sake, drink a glass of wine when you get off the air. You're going to have a heart attack. I pour my glass of wine and switch off of the Nova M radio site and just get on any server. And I go to bartcop.com. And for the next 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, all you do is just scroll down his website. It is amazing. It's amazing. I love that site. I love it. There are amazing sites all over the place. But Bart Kopp, who has been doing this probably, I don't know, Kathy, what, longer than anyone else? I mean, he's in Oklahoma. Is he in Oklahoma City or Tulsa? I'm not sure. But if you haven't been to bartcop.com, it's got everything. His site has, and it's very simple. You just scroll down. I mean, there's nothing confusing about it. Even somebody like me can navigate that site. It's unbelievable. And funny stuff. Some of the stuff in there, there many a night, 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting here in the studio and just laughing my ass off, you know, out loud. It's good. Why am I talking about Bart Kopp? I just get off on a tangent. Anyway, Don and anybody else, check out his site, bartcop.com. Funny, funny, funny stuff. Keith is calling from Tacoma, Washington, listening on, I don't know, how are you hearing us, Keith?
Well, doing fine. I appreciate you being on the air for me, Mike.
Are you listening on the radio or Sirius or what?
Sirius.
Okay. Welcome to the program, Keith.
Well, thank you. It's a tough act to follow after Nair, but I'll try to my best.
Wasn't she something?
What a hoot.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine being married to that?
No, I can't imagine being in the same room. I mean, what if that was my mother or my sister or a friend or anybody? Ah!
How'd you like to meet that on a blind date?
No!
Well, the reason I called, Mike, is because I agree with you about the news organizations. Right now, I don't have any faith in any of them because they don't report the news anymore. They create the news.
Yeah, they make stuff up, don't they? They just
make it
up.
You know, I mean, they'll nitpick something that somebody has said, you know, and they turn it down around to their agenda and stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it just, boy, I mean, the only ones I listen to are Keith Olbermann anymore, and at times he gets on my nerves, too, you know.
Well, if he gets on your nerves, listen to Rachel on MSNBC. It comes on right after him.
I do. But I can't even stand to watch Lou Dobbs anymore. That guy's turned so right-wing, it's unbelievable.
Oh, he's a piece of work. Lou Dobbs' biggest problem is Lou Dobbs. He really is full of himself. I think he and Rush ought to get married and just be done with it. Of course, Lou is married, but...
Union in heaven, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, boy.
I really wanted to call and tell you I really appreciate you being out there for us, Mike.
Okay. Thanks, Keith. That was a nice thing to say. I appreciate it. You take care. Take care. Who's next? Cindy, calling from Oregon. Cindy, welcome to the program. How are you hearing the program tonight? I don't have that up on my screen.
How am I listening to it?
Yeah.
Oh, on the internet.
Oh, on the internet. Okay. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. Well, the only reason I called was I listen to you off and on all the time. You're my favorite one because you sound like you're as angry about this whole situation as I am.
Yeah.
But I think that there's no real reason to be particularly depressed right now because things have never been as clear as they are now. Really in our history.
Yeah.
It's just so obvious how corrupt the whole thing is.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I can't see that much difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. There is a rhetorical difference, but in actually what they do, I mean, we've already wrecked Iraq. You know?
So now
we're going to go into Afghanistan and wreck Afghanistan too?
Well, you know, we've been in Afghanistan for 7 years. You do know that.
Oh, yeah. But we're just going to intensify. Nobody's ever won Afghanistan. We're not going
to
win.
No. That's a suicide mission. And you hate to see someone like Barack Obama ordering through his Defense Department and his military more death and destruction. If we sent 500,000 troops, if we sent 10 times, 12 times the number of troops we have there now, we still wouldn't win anything.
That's what I think.
Yeah, it's an impossible situation, an impossible situation. And I just I hope Barack Obama stops listening to whoever's telling him that we have to continue to strike Afghanistan. The result of our continuing military action there is going to be a complete takeover of Pakistan by these religious nutballs who are then going to get nuclear weapons. So I just wish we would get out of there.
It's just a mess. But I also think that, you know, all of this is just, I think, even the banking scandals and all that, that's just, you know, in the 70s, they started to deindustrialize the U.S. because they couldn't make a profit anymore.
Yeah.
So then they start this huge credit thing so that everything keeps going sort of for a little while, even though it gets kind of a little bit worse all the time for the working class, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the credit thing just gets totally out of hand because they have absolutely nowhere to put their money. I mean, it is and make a profit, which is what they have to do. You know, I mean, that's the law that they're operating under.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, sure, they're greedy creeps, but it's more of a symptom of the entire problem is that, in my opinion, capitalism just doesn't work. And we're in a huge crisis. And they're doing whatever they can. They just seem to be going to do whatever they can to try to save it, but it's not going to save it anyway. I mean, it's just a mess.
And well, yeah,
I
don't think it can be, quote, saved. What I think will actually happen, Cindy, is that it has to be redone. You know, call it creative destruction, call it whatever you want. There is no way, I don't care what anybody's talking about, there's no way we can go back to the system that just produced this global economic meltdown, this neoliberal approach to economics. There is no way. It's not going to happen. So the question now is what system is going to replace it? We are not going to have the kind of laissez-faire capitalist neoliberalism that we've had, that won't happen. So what takes its place? I vote for democratic socialism. I've said it several times in the past 6 months about what I think should be the economic system in this country, a mixed economy. I think that's about the only solution available. We'll be right back.
Short on joy. Much longer you gonna keep the world hungry and bored. You measure your peace with guns, your progress is in megatons. Well, who's left when the war is won? A soldier of misfortune, a soldier of an angry call, soldiers on foreign soil. Well, we're not here to fight your war, 'cause we know what you're fighting for.
I'm in the slammer, thanks very much, but I can still yammer, haven't lost my touch. It's Friday, time for open lines. Be a couple hundred more till I've done my time. Get down. I'll just keep talking truth and motherhood to Main Street and now the Aryan Brotherhood. And every time I mention that drugs ain't worth it, they credit me 6 months community service. Ha! Liberals! Don't you just love them? Yeah, I got my crew, in case you imagine you can mess with me in any fashion. You really think you're going to get a piece? I suggest you have a word with my man Maurice. Come over here, big fella.
Yeah, the big man's putting us on the map, so for all we care, he can yap, yap, yap. 14 hours a day, you can squeal and shout. Just shut your pie hole when the lights go out.
All right. 10 before the hour. Thanks to our crew, Ian Huff, who engineered, Ben Birch, who is our technical advisor. Excuse me, our military affairs correspondent, Sharon Gordy, Bridget Wiffen, Bob Alexander, ethically advised this program, and Bruce Enberg is our economic correspondent. Executive producer is Catherine Bay. excuse me again. Back to your phone calls. David is calling from China. Hey, David.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Well, like you, I'm down a little bit about what's going on back home and wondering how much I can stick with this. But I'm also chomping at the bit. I want to get back there. I want to get back to Lenawee County. I want to go directly to the Adrian Telegram newspaper office and set up a picket line and expose them people, you know, for their right-wing ridiculous ranting that goes on habitually for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I had an experience before, shortly before I left the United States, and 4 years ago, I left probably within 30 days after being pulled over by two sheriff's patrol cars and being told that the fact that I was picketing a business because the business supported Rush Limbaugh mm-hmm. with their advertising, I was pulled over by two sheriff's patrol cars, told that I had every right to do what I was doing, but some people don't like it, you know. I got videos. Sometimes, you know, it's the truth. I remember where I was when Kennedy was assassinated, and I know more. It's more vivid in my mind where I was the first time I heard Rush Limbaugh on the radio. I couldn't believe it. It's so astounding to me.
Yeah. Well, so, I wish that he and Sarah Palin would run on the same ticket.
Rush, I like that. If you don't get that bumper sticker out, I'll get it out.
Hey, let me ask you something. Tell me if I'm saying this right. Gohoi Fat Choi, is that how you say Happy New Year in Chinese?
It depends on where you're at, but it's here on the coast. It's Gong. Gong Shi Fa Chai.
Oh, I see. A little different, huh? It's the year Go ahead.
They say it several different ways here. But
yeah.
You're close, right. Gong Shi Fa Chai in Qingdao.
It's the year of the ox?
That's correct.
Is that good?
Of course, I don't think there's anything negative in most of them, or else they would be celebrating, but I don't know the particulars about the ox. I'm on the Western calendar, I'm a snake. On the Chinese calendar, I'm a dragon, so... dragons are pretty cool.
Well, that's interesting. On the Western calendar, I'm a crab, and on the Chinese calendar, I'm a horse.
There we go. You're a crabby horse.
A crabby horse.
Well, I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm going to Malaysia for 9 days. Where I'm at on the coast, it's been pretty damn cold. My heater ain't been working, so I'm going to some white sand and sunny beaches and hot sun.
Well, have fun, and maybe call us from Malaysia, okay?
I certainly will do that if I get the chance.
All right,
I enjoy talking.
All right, David.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Malaysia. We might go to Florida, right?
Hey, it's warm there, too.
It is. It is warm in Florida. David is calling from Miami. David, welcome to the program. Listening on WINZ. Hi, David.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike?
Great All right.
show. I agree with most every time that most of the things that you have. But some things I don't, but most of them I do. And tonight, I agree with everything. I also agree with that if we have to get unions stronger to get more like France, they're afraid we're going to end up like France. But I think we have to go that way, social democracy.
I think the French system is great.
Yeah, but the corporations are tremendously afraid of us going that way because they don't like to pay the wages that they should be paying here. The other thing I wanted to mention, that woman that called that said she was a Hispanic
Nair? Nair, yeah.
I have a friend who's married to a Cuban woman, mm-hmm. all right? He hates the Republicans as much as I do. But she is a Republican. She doesn't want to hear anything about politics at all, and she's got her kids trained the same way. And the only reason that it's done that way with her is because when she left Cuba and came over here, she expected the United States to fight and get Fidel Castro out. And when Kennedy pulled the troops the planes off of the Bay of Pigs, that was the last time she ever wanted to talk about the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It's just something that's ingrained in them.
Yeah.
You can't even talk to them about it. I mean, she's a nice woman, and I'm friends with her and her kids. But if you bring up the Democrats, they go off the wall.
Well, I know that is true of so many people. They're single issue, and I can understand, I guess, I mean, not really, but I can understand how some of these old Cuban emigres who fled the revolution might feel that way. Of course, the reason there was a revolution was because so many people in the privileged class was destroying or were destroying life for those not in that class. Kind of like what's happening here now, you think? Hey, listen, thanks for hanging out tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.